it is okay to put this in my schedule and do this. And a lot of us as moms have to give ourselves permission to do that. Just because we're moms doesn't mean that we have to give up on all of our hopes and dreams and desires and goals.
Hey babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions. Hey, Mommy Millionaires, welcome back to the Mommy Millionaire Show. I'm super excited about our special guest today. You guys know that I only bring you the best of the best. And my husband was at a mastermind a couple months ago now, and he told me, you gotta look this lady up. Her name is Allison, and she is helping women all over the world be bomb.com basically. So I was like, okay, let me look her up. So I looked her up on Instagram and I fell in love with her. She's so real and she is like really taking like this new fashion world by storm. Like she's helping so many people via a membership group. And I know a ton of you guys want to have a membership group. So we're going to talk about that today. But Allison Lambatis is a seven-figure entrepreneur, online influencer, and the founder of Get Your Pretty On, the first of its kind in a personal styling framework and lifestyle blog. After 14 years as a telecom engineer, print model, and actress, Allison grew GYPO into a leading resource that helps women rediscover their worthiness through their wardrobe. Having served over 30,000 women through her style challenges, capsule wardrobe program, and attracted an online audience of millions, Allison's platform democratizes style for every body and budget. She's a certified life coach and author. Allison is a thought leader in the personal style and confidence arenas and has been featured in the Forbes, Redbook, and Life and Style magazine, among many others. She's a sought-after speaker and podcast guest. Allison speaks on fighting feelings of unworthiness and the power of prioritizing pretty. So welcome, Allison, to the show.
Thank you, Kayla. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Chase. So I think Chase saw you at Chris Harder's mastermind a couple months ago, and he was like, you need to be friends with her. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then like, I've also seen you again with my friend, Rebecca Louise. She just lives like a couple streets over. And I was like, okay, if they're, collabing, I love Rebecca. She's so real. So I can't wait to one day meet you in person.
Yes. We'll have to have a little powwow get together.
Totally.
One day.
Okay. So I know you didn't just like wake up and roll over and become a print model. Like, tell me a little bit about your story. How did you get into that world and then transition over into life coach and now a seven-figure entrepreneur?
Yeah. So my journey, I have worn many, many hats to say the least over the years. So I started out, graduating college with very little direction, not sure where to go, basically dumped into my first job as an engineer, even though I had a psychology degree, but it was back in the 90s, the dot-com boom was going on. And I always felt like the square peg in the round hole, though. It was one of those things where I just kind of started a career and started down a path, but knew I had these creative pursuits and this other energy that I wanted to express in the world. And that's really what led to acting and modeling. I started taking some classes on the side, first as a hobby, as a creative outlet, and also because I was really shy and introverted at the time. And I thought it would be a good way for me to just be able to put myself out there. And that really led to me getting my first agent, which then started leading to me booking work. And by the time it was all said and done, I did that overlapping with my telecom engineer career for 10 years. I had done, I think in the last year that I was doing it, I booked 30 commercials and was doing
wow.
A lot of work as well. Yeah. So although it was a creative outlet, I still felt like something wasn't quite fulfilling me at that point. I had all of these pursuits and all of this stuff going on, but none of it was really bringing me the amount of fulfillment and satisfaction that I wanted in my life. And that's when I started working with a lot, getting my own coaching certification and then practicing on my own for a few years.
Wow. I love that. So, I know it, like when you're pivoting, sometimes like your mindset, there's always like a gap like that you have to catch up with. You know what I'm saying? When you're making a new career move, how did you pivot so often and keep your mindset in the right spot?
You know, I think that the main thing is that I didn't necessarily pivot. I stayed in the corporate job as an engineer the entire time the other things were happening, the other pursuits. And I had some freedom and flexibility that I was able to pursue those simultaneously. So I feel like I was more of a slasher than I was pivoting at the time. And I think that, you know, a lot of people get stuck in that mindset of, well, I've got to stop this to do this, but you don't. I think that you have to engage with things and you have to try things. And that doesn't mean you have to quit what you're doing, give up the source of your income and not do that anymore in order to pursue something else. And, you know, I think that's really what allowed me to be a successful entrepreneur was realizing that don't cut off your bread and butter.
Yeah.
Keep that going. And then, you know, try some things and figure some things out. And you don't have to take the leap until you're ready to do that.
Okay. I am obsessed with the fact that you're saying this because I don't know if you know a little bit about my background, but I was a nurse and building my business on the side. And I didn't leave my nursing career until I was making like $800,000 a year for the second year in a row. It was somewhere around that, but it was a lot of money. And I was finally like, okay, you know what? I'm good to give up the nursing career now. But a lot of people, I think they have this, they don't want to put too much on their plate because then they think, you know, that their priorities are going to get all out of whack. So how did you have so much on your plate? I mean, were you a mom at the time?
Yes. Yeah. So my husband and I have three children and they're a lot older now, but at the time they were younger and I did have a lot on my plate. And that was one of the really big mindset difficulties for me to grasp at that time was, should I be pursuing this? Should I be doing this whenever, you know, I could be spending this time with my kids? And I had to get past that. I had to say, it's okay to take an hour a week and go to an acting class. Mm-hmm. It is okay to spend an hour tonight working on my coaching certification. It is okay to put this in my schedule and do this. And a lot of us as moms have to give ourselves permission to do that. Just because we're moms doesn't mean that we have to give up on all of our hopes and dreams and desires and goals. Maybe sometimes that means we delay them or maybe they take a little longer to get there. But we don't have to shut that part of ourselves down. And we really just need to give ourselves permission to say, okay, this is important to me and I want to pursue this.
Yes. You got to give yourself permission because no other mom's going to walk up to you and like give you the permission slip. You have to do it yourself. So you're married and was your husband very supportive with all of these like things you were doing as well?
Yes, he's always been super supportive of all my crazy dreams, schemes, and ideas. And I always have told him, you know, I'm going to hit upon that one. It's going to really pay off. And that happened. So no, but he was always really just super supportive and recognizing the fact that I needed something for me too. And, you know, we've always done that for each other. I think we're even better at doing that for each other than we are for ourselves. Like I can look at him and say, hey, honey, you know, I think you need to carve out some time for yourself to go do something that fulfills you or whatever. And he's good at doing that for me too. And we balance each other out that way.
Aw, now what does he do?
He is an engineer also. So we had a dual engineer family. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Yes. So does he understand like the ebbs and flows of entrepreneur life? Like, is he on board with, obviously he is if he's super supportive.
Well, totally. Yeah, he is. And you know, he's my biggest sounding board. He's my best friend. I mean, we sit on our porch swing in the evenings with a glass of wine. And I just, you know, talk to him about my day and bounce ideas off of him. And I think it's good that we do kind of have that balance there where we're not
different.
Both.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And we can bring two different things to the table and he can look at things more pragmatically where I look at things more creatively. And it just balances, you know, both of us out really well, but he understands my business extremely well. Honestly, he could probably step in and run it as much as I talk about it because he knows it inside and out, but that's just not how he's wired. He's not,
right.
He's not wired as an entrepreneur.
Okay. So the reason why I'm asking so much about this is because that Mommy Millionaire, this is probably the number one question we get is what do you do if your spouse is unsupportive of you becoming an entrepreneur?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough question. And, you know, I think that there were times, but if we back my story up a little bit, I ended up taking a severance package from corporate America, which was a scary thing to do. I had 6 months worth of pay in the bank. And when I left my telecom company, I worked with a career counselor and she said, you know what? You started this blog 6 months ago. I think that you should pour everything that you have into growing this and see what happens with it over the course of the next year. And I think that this has the most potential of anything that's on your plate right now. Mm. So there were times in there during that year where I was just pouring myself into blogging every day, not making any money at it at all, you know, not looking for another job. And there were stressful moments in there where we would, you know, feel that fear bubbling up. And although my husband never put pressure on me to go out and pursue something else, he totally believed in the idea too. It was really stressful for us at that point to not have that unknown that was hanging mm-hmm. over us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially like, I feel like an engineer brain is very like certain, like, you know, like the, you know, if I, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, like, you know exactly what you're going to get in that career. And so I could see that. So, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I'm so happy that you have like that support system. And I love the way that you kind of shared the backstory with everybody. So, you know, like when you're in it, sometimes it can, whatever you focus on, you find. So if you keep finding that your spouse is unsupportive, you're just going to keep on seeing it. So got to kind of switch your focus there.
For sure. Don't be afraid to ask for what you need. I think if you need support from your spouse, you need to just be direct and communicate. I know I'm guilty of that. I've been in the past, and a lot of women are. We just assume that our husbands know what we want and need. And the fact is, they don't. We need to ask.
Yes. It's like, I always talk about like your subconscious mind, you have to tell it exactly what to do. Why do you think that your husband's mind would be able to know exactly what you need? You don't even know what you need most of the time. So yeah, get crystal clear. Okay. So how long has Get Your Pretty On been around?
So I started blogging in 2012. And honestly, I started it because I was sitting around the house in my yoga pants all day long. At one point in my engineering career, my management change shifted. I was working from home, no longer in the office anymore, which was great in so many ways and an answer to prayers. You know, I got to be there in the morning when my kids, you know, were getting up and ready for school and pick them up from school in the afternoon. And it was a dream come true. But I started noticing that sitting around in my yoga pants all day was doing me no favors. I lost my motivation to get dressed and it started kind of spilling over into other areas. Wasn't really putting on makeup, wasn't really fixing my hair, just kind of feeling bad about myself in general. Wasn't going to yoga or working out. And it all just kind of spiraled into this place where I was just in a really big rut. And I thought, what can I do to turn this around? There's got to be something. The next morning, I decided to get up earlier, actually get showered in the morning, put on makeup, fix my hair, and get dressed in real clothes. But the problem was I didn't have real clothes that suited my new life and my new lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Everything in my closet was for my corporate life. Mm-hmm. So I started trying to piece outfits together. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to start a blog because why not? I know nothing about blogging. And this blog can be my accountability partner for getting dressed on a daily basis. I'm going to start posting the outfits that I put together. I'm going to start sharing what I'm learning over here. And there wasn't really anything out there at that point that was like this. We had a lot of high fashion, haute couture, designer, expensive, you know, high heel blogs, right. But nothing that was just really appealing to the mom audience. And I really think that that was part of the appeal for Get Your Pretty On was that it was real, it was down to earth, and it was outfits that you could do daily life in. And that's what I was writing and posting about. And so the audience kind of grew organically over the course of the first year or two with just, you know, other moms finding it and being drawn to it for the reasons that, you know, the same thing that I was, that they just didn't want to sit around in their yoga pants all day long and they wanted easy, cute, put together outfits that made their lives easier.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love hearing the backstory about it. And as I'm like wondering what you're like wearing, you know, while you're working from home, building out your membership site, I'm currently like sitting in a robe, but I filmed this morning and I had on this beautiful jumpsuit and it's just not comfortable to sit in while you're podcasting. So I'm like, I'm hanging it out so it doesn't get wrinkly and I'm going to put my robe on right now to do this podcast. But I love that because it's almost like you're styling your highest self. Like when you're in your yoga pants and you're just lounging, like sometimes like you have a different mindset. Do you agree?
I totally agree. Yes. You know, I found that even on that first day that I got dressed, my ambition and motivation levels were through the roof and I felt great all day. And when I picked my daughter up from school that afternoon, she got in the car and she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, what happened to you?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "Well, you look pretty today." And honestly, that to me was the turning point. Like I realized in that moment that I was also setting an example for my daughters, that the way that I was dressing and taking care of myself, my self-care was affecting more than just me. It was affecting my family. And I think that was the wake-up call that I needed to really continue with it. And that's how the blog got its name, Get Your Pretty On, just from her, you know, saying that to me.
Oh, I love that. So let's talk more about why it's important to show that to our daughters.
You know, it's so important for us to model impeccable self-care to our daughters because when we're denying ourselves and we're putting our kids ahead of ourselves, we're showing them what to do when they get older, when they have kids. And we have to be really careful about that, that if we're not modeling that behavior for them, where will they learn that? And if that's what we want for them, then that's the expectation that we need to hold ourselves to.
Absolutely. I always think my daughter's going to have such a different life. Like she's only 7 right now, but I'm thinking like when you become an adult, like you're going to have like, you're going to be leap years ahead of where I was when I was 18 because I am modeling such a different lifestyle for her. So I love that you just, I mean, your kids are older than mine. I saw you posted on Instagram. You're like, it's weird having a glass of wine with my 21-year-old daughter. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that. It feels like so far away. So how was that? Was it weird or was it like, oh, this is, I've been waiting for this moment?
No, it was actually kind of funny because my daughter she doesn't drink at all. She's in college, but she chooses not to. Yes. And she just turned 21, but she decided, you know, we hadn't gone out for her birthday yet. So she decided to order a glass of wine. She took 2 sips out of it and that was the end of it. So it may have been the first and last glass of wine. I don't know. Maybe when she gets older, she'll acquire a taste for it. But yeah, it was fun and weird at the same time, but for sure.
Okay. So you get this idea to start a blog. Now, how do you start monetizing it?
So back to the severance package story.
Okay.
And where my husband came in and was, you know, so supportive of everything that I was doing. We got down to a point where I had 3 months left in the bank and I was still not making money at the blog and had no idea how it was going to, because the traditional blogging business model of, you know, throwing out a bunch of affiliate links for people to shop your outfits wasn't working for me because of the audience that I was attracting were very budget conscious moms who were wanting to get the most bang for their buck if they bought something. So they weren't going to be out there just constantly purchasing through my links that I was putting out there. So I knew that early on that business model was not going to be sustainable for me. And so I did a reader survey and I said, if there was something I could create for you that would make it easier for you to get dressed every day, what would it be? And I got back a ton of responses, a lot of women, a lot of overlap saying, give me a list. Just give me a list and tell me what to go out and buy. That's all I want. And I thought, you know what? I can do that. I can make a list of closet staples that every woman should have and then throw in some fun seasonal trends to keep them fresh and new. And I can create that as a product for people to purchase. So I started working on this list. And as I was working through the list, I thought, what good is this list if I'm not pairing these pieces up into outfits? So essentially my first capsule wardrobe was born without me even knowing what a capsule wardrobe was. So what I did was I took all the pieces on that list. My engineer mind said, these pieces can be mixed and matched in multiple different ways, just like granimals for adults. So let's make this easy on them and show them ways that they can pair this up. So I packaged it up, cobbled together some systems on the back end with some PayPal, created some PDFs, linked up all of the items, allowed them to shop where they wanted, spend as much or as little as they wanted, or shop their closets first to create the outfit ideas. And then I sent them out a daily email with an outfit idea in it to wear based upon the pieces on the list. So I created this and I was thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to be happy if 50 women decide that they're going to purchase this from me. I think I charged maybe, I don't know, $19 or something like that for it. 500 women signed up the first time. And I realized in that moment that this was going to be something that was a sustainable business model and would actually work.
Now, how many people did you have reading your blog?
At that point, no, it wasn't, we were probably, 2 years in. So I was maybe had around 50,000 page views a month. And I did not, this is embarrassing to say, but I didn't start building a list until I was about 2 years into the process. So my list was not very big at the time.
Yeah. No, I did the same thing with my whole life. I was like, what's an email list? Until like 3 years ago. Yeah. So, but that's incredible, incredible. So what that shows is that you were offering major value on your blog first and foremost. And so then when you had a paid offer, people bought into it. So that's huge. Okay. I was just trying to get a view like for, the percentage. I always like want to know conversion rates.
Okay, I can tell you my conversion rate now is almost 10% on my list.
Really good.
Which is crazy. Yes.
Yeah. Do you do a daily email?
I don't. I do a weekly newsletter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we just roll up everything into that from, if I create video content or blog content, whatever is all things GYPO get rolled into the newsletter. So it's kind of a one-stop shop.
How many people out of those first 500 people are still your customer today?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to it, but I do know that we have had overall around an 85% customer retention rate through the years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. And the thing is, like with this membership site, you have to make it, if you're thinking about doing something and you want to go down this path, you've got to think about how can I make this model stick? What can make it sticky? What can keep people coming back for more? And having a seasonal program is built into, keeping people feeding back through the program. And, you can create evergreen programs and you can constantly fill your funnel for those, which is one model. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this model just seems to work so well with style and fashion because I'm always having fresh content that I can create for them and put out to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, fashion is it's always changing. I love it. And I love that you're giving moms affordable things. I remember I used to be like years ago, I would go onto Pinterest and try to find, great outfits because I was starting to network and I was starting to speak on stages. And I was like, I have no idea what to wear. And I would go to Pinterest and click to buy stuff and everything would be, sold out. So I wish I would have known about your program back then. But now all the mommy millionaires know. So this is awesome.
Awesome.
So let's talk a little bit more about the mindset of switching from an employee to an entrepreneur. Because that's really, that's what you eventually had to do, right? And as an employee, you have that certainty of getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. Like you know exactly what you're going to get. Now, in the entrepreneur role, you're signing up for the life of uncertainty. I always tell people that. And how do you switch to that mindset of being okay with the unknown?
It was a really difficult shift because stability and security are probably two of my highest values in life. And that's what corporate America provided, was that stability and security of having a paycheck, of habits, of not having to be the one making all the decisions and having the weight of the world on your shoulders and managing a team. Like when I went into this, I didn't even want a team. I was happy being a solopreneur and just wearing all the hats and being DIY and pulling myself up by my bootstraps. And then I started needing a team. And that was a really difficult transition to make too. Like growing into being a leader, I personally was the bottleneck to growth in my business. And I had to delegate and step out of the way. And I think that was one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn moving into this space. And it's been just every year brings with it a different mindset challenge and transition that needs to be worked through and overcome in order to continue to grow and move the business forward. And yeah, just making that initial shift and that jump out of this relative safety net of corporate America, where if you make a mistake or you have your little piece of the pie that you're responsible for, if something goes wrong there, it's not as big of a deal as it is when you are your business.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I love how you said that every year it's like something new, some new mindset that you're taking on. How are you getting help doing that? Do you have a business coach? Are you in a mastermind? Like, what is helping you? Or is it just you, you know, just constantly being self-aware of what your limitations are?
At the beginning of every year, I really just look at what I need in the year ahead and ask myself, you know, what do I need to grow as a person, as a leader, as a business owner? And in those early years, it was one-on-one business coaching with somebody who was just a few steps ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So that's the model I went with. The year that I built out my membership site, actually the year after I did it, I had a developer come in and create a membership site for me. I went into a mastermind that year that was just really focused on course creation and membership site building. Then the following year, I reevaluated and decided what was going to work for me that year. This past year, I did a high-level mastermind with Lewis House, which was amazing. And this year, I'm doing a smaller kind of branding workshop. It's not a mastermind, but it's a coaching program, and it has a mixture of one-on-one coaching mixed in with workshops. And I'm doing that with Rory Vaden's group. And it's been amazing. So it's just really about saying, what do I need in the year ahead? What is going to benefit me the most? And what is going to contribute to my growth? And evaluating it. Mm. And then making a decision.
I love that. So you're always investing in yourself in some way. And this brings me to my next point I want to talk about with you is like, just investing in your membership site is a point where a lot of moms will, you know, get a hang up, right? How much is your membership?
The membership itself is only $39.
Okay. But you probably even have some people that are like, oh, I don't know if I'm worth this, right? I don't want to.
Oh, absolutely. It's a stretch. Yeah, it is. It's a stretch for some of these moms. And I mean, I totally get that. I've been in that place before where you can take $39 and put it toward, you know, clothes for your kids, or $39 and put it toward doing this for yourself, and making that decision can be really tough.
Mm-hmm. So how do you help moms see the value in it?
So, you know, I think we really have to know that we're worth it. We have to believe that we are. And the easiest way, and this seems so counterintuitive and it's backwards, but oftentimes we just have to take the action first. And once you take the action, then that leads to the feeling. And just, I want my job in this world to be to give women permission to do whatever it takes to lead prettier, more beautiful lives. And I don't mean that in a vain pursuit in any way, but whatever's going to make your life more beautiful, like whether that's going out for a glass of wine with your girlfriends, or it's buying a new top or getting a new lip gloss at Target, like you have permission to do that. And I want you to know that just taking that small action, that little thing that validates that you are worth feeling good, mm-hmm. makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And that's my message to every mom out there, is to know that just because you become a mom doesn't mean that you have to step into the background or that you are worth any less than you were before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you talk about how when you're investing in yourself, you're showing your kids to do the same. But why do we feel better when we have a pretty top on, or we have our makeup on, or, you know, we go out and spend that time with our friends, when we take time for ourselves? Why does that translate over to us being better moms?
I mean, it just, again, we go back to setting that example. If we're a happy mom, isn't that what our kids want at the end of the day? They just want a happy mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that over and over again, that studies have even proven it, that we worry about what we're going to mess up, or how, you know, we stress out over all of these things with our kids and with parenting. And at the end of the day, your kids just want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. And if you're a happy mom around your kids, then they're going to feel like they won the jackpot. It's such a simple concept. And I mean, maybe it's oversimplified, but yeah, it's so true.
I agree too. That's what I always think about. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter. This does not matter in 5 years with these kids. They are not going to know. Right? I always like feel bad. Every time we live right by Disneyland, and we'll go and I see all these people dressed like matching. And you know, it's like their first time ever going to Disneyland. And you know, my kids are like in dirty clothes from school, and we're there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst mom. We're not matching. But I'm like, they don't care. They don't care. Okay. So Another thing I want to just discuss is when you're talking about, you know, people staying in this membership, because I think a lot of people don't have an 85% customer retention rate. How are you making sure that these people are becoming, you know, loyal, raving fans of Get Your Pretty On?
So we have this amazing community. I run private Facebook groups for each seasonal challenge, and the women in there are the kindest, most supportive. It's a safe environment. A lot of the women who come to the program are either feeling insecure about themselves in some way because of a transition in life. You know, maybe they just had a baby, or maybe they're an empty nester, or there's some reason that's bringing them to GYPO and bringing them to this place at this time. And having that safe, supportive environment where everybody's coming around them and encouraging them, they're posting a selfie sometimes for the very first time in their lives inside this group. It's a really vulnerable thing to do. And I really believe that building that community in there and having those friendships, we have real life friendships. We've had over 30,000 women in over 20 countries around the world do the program. We've had women fly in from all over the world to meet up in real life. And I just honestly think that they just keep coming back because of the community and having that strong, you know, just really setting the tone in there for what our expectations are and allowing it to grow on its own and become its own thing is what keeps the women coming back, because they want to be with their friends each season. They want to be styling the outfits together. And we do shut down our seasonal groups before we start a new one. And initially I did that because it was just too much for us to manage and have all these Facebook groups hanging out there. But now I realize that it is, in a way, helping with our customer retention too, because they want to be part of the fun and in the group and have, you know, that space to be in the next season. So that helps to kind of lead them into the next one too.
So community is everything. And I believe that it does start from the top. So it starts with you creating that culture. And like, walk me through exactly how you did it. Like, you know, is it just by setting like community guidelines, or is it because like you're showing up on video, you know, with setting that tone?
You know, I think it's both. And in the beginning, it was more about me and than it is now. It's a lot less about me now. And that's been intentional, honestly. I feel like I'm still the face of the brand, but the brand stands on its own. The mission stands on its own, and that and the program does as well. But in the beginning, it was about being in that group and just being super supportive of everybody in there and kind to everyone and having that zero tolerance policy on anything mean happening in the group. And as it evolved and we had to start developing community guidelines, you know, knowing exactly what I wanted to convey through those guidelines and then enforcing it. You know, we've had to have difficult conversations. And over the years, it's been, you know, we've had all these thousands of women go through it. I can count on one hand the amount of women that we have had to eject from a group. And that is amazing. I think that it's just really about you truly attract, you attract what you are and who you are. And you have to think about that. Like, who do I want in this group? I want these people that are going to be kind and inclusive and supportive and all of these things to one another. And that's the tone that you have to set in the beginning. And then it will naturally grow in that way.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love this. So you said you attract what you are. And you also said, you know, the hardest part about, you know, being an entrepreneur right now is building a team out. And I totally agree with that. And like, I got to a place like a year and a half ago where I was bottlenecking myself too. And I always said, well, I just want to like show up and I don't want to have to lead anybody. And it was like, okay, well, you're going to stay here forever, right? So how did you attract the best team to help you get to, you know, this level that you're at right now?
So my team has been, it's been interesting. So in the beginning, I didn't hire for skills, which worked at that time. I've later hired for skills, but in the beginning, my first employee was very homegrown. She just came in with a great attitude and was willing to learn. And she has grown along with the business and has been with me for almost the entire journey, which has been amazing. So later on, a funny thing happened. My business manager that I have right now was one of my customers. And she sent me an email one day and she said, you know, I was thinking about your Facebook group and all the fun things that we could be doing in there. And I had a few ideas for you. Do you mind if I run those past you? And I said, no, of course not. That'd be amazing. So she sends me a Word doc, 4 pages long, of all of these amazing ideas. And I looked at my husband and I said, I've got to hire this girl. And she has been just the most amazing asset to the business. And, you know, a lot of times there are people in your community or your customers that will, that are out there that are already raving fans of yours that understand your business. And if you don't need to hire for a specific set of skills, then sometimes those are the people that you should have on your team.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like has been the hardest part about being, you know, the CEO and not the entrepreneur?
That's a great question, because I don't feel like I really rose to the occasion of CEO until the past year.
Yeah.
And I think it really comes down to setting expectations, holding people accountable. Mm-hmm. We had a big powwow at the beginning of this year with my team to really just have everybody responsible for their own metrics.
Yes. And that's what we do. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that has been a huge game changer. I can't even tell you, like, hugely game changing. And in a sense, not where like, oh, you better meet your metrics or you're going to be in trouble. But no, in a sense, like, you own this number.
Right.
And it just is empowering for them. And they love that. They're excited about it. They love having something that's just so, like, numbers don't lie and numbers don't have emotion. And they have really just risen to the occasion with that. And I think for me as a leader, I had to say, it's okay for me to not be your friend. I can be your friend and I can be a nice person and I can be a leader too. So I had to rise above that and tell myself, I honestly had to give myself permission to say, I am the leader, I am at the helm, and I need to own this. And it was a mindset thing for sure.
Oh my gosh, it's a total mindset. Have you ever read the book Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey?
I don't think I have.
Oh my gosh, you would probably love it. It's so good. Talks a lot about this stuff. He actually has a mastermind too. I've been thinking about joining it, but because it's all about just this stuff, being a CEO.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to look into it for sure.
Yeah. I didn't actually read the book. I listened to it on Audible, and yeah, it was really good. It was eye-opening for me.
I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah. So I think, like, for all of you mommy millionaires that are listening in right now and you hear us talking about a team and maybe you're not there yet, Allison, what would be your best advice? Like, when did you know you needed to start hiring?
I knew I needed to start hiring when I was trying to, I think when I was trying to answer customer service emails at midnight.
Yeah.
And I realized that I no longer needed to be the person who was the point of contact for customer service. Mm-hmm. And when you just look around and just have that aha moment that's telling you, I can't do everything and continue to grow. If your first hire is always going to be a leap, it's going to be a leap of faith. It's probably going to be, you know, you're going to be looking at it and saying, I can't even barely pay myself, let alone pay someone else. But you have to know that, you know, 6 months from now, that decision is the one decision that is going to allow you to be in a much different place than you are today, because there's only so much you can do as a solopreneur and there's only so much growth that you can have. And it's going to pay off. I promise you, if you find the right person and you're able to delegate the right tasks for you to focus on growing the business, that will always, always pay off.
Hmm. What do you want every mommy millionaire to know?
And I think this is in business and life both, is that you always have permission to pursue your dreams. And if you're sitting around waiting for your husband to come and tell you that you're allowed to do this, or your kids to come and tell you that you should go spend time doing this, or your mom or your best friend or your neighbor or your sister or someone else to say, hey, you know what? You should focus on this. Guess what? That's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You have got to give that permission to yourself and you have to be okay with it. And you have to know that it's okay to build a business and a life that you love and that nobody else is responsible for that but you. Mm. So go ahead and give yourself permission to do it.
Yes, I love it. Where will we see you in the next year? Where are you going?
In the next year, I plan to continue the mission of Get Your Pretty On and really just giving women that permission to feel pretty and to focus on themselves, and also to offer more programs through Outfit Formulas, which is where I'm rebranding my current membership site to this year. And I'm going to be offering more resources, a broader variety of them. We're going to be doing a menswear capsule wardrobe, some more evergreen programs in addition to the seasonal capsules, but just really continuing to democratize personal style, make it something that's accessible for everyone, and allowing them to feel empowered by their style choices, to know that you can work with any budget, with any body, and it's for everyone. Style is not just for, you know, the women on Instagram that are bloggers or a certain number on the scale or really expensive clothing. I want this to be something that is accessible for every woman.
Well, I'm excited that the Mommy Millionaires are going to know about it now. We really have an awesome community. So I think that everybody will be taking advantage of what you have to offer. So how can people find you, Allison?
They can find me at getyourprettyon.com and everywhere on social, Get Your Pretty On.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was absolutely amazing to get to know you. And I love how you're just like, you're straight to the point, and that is my kind of girl. So I knew we would get along. I found so much value. I took a ton of notes, and I want all of you Mommy Millionaires to stay tuned for the recap and make sure to follow her on Instagram and also check out her website. We'll make sure to link up everything in the show notes. So thank you so much, Allison.
Thanks for having me, Kayla. This was awesome.
All right, Mommy Millionaires, I loved interviewing Allison. I'm going to give you a couple notes of what I took away that I really want you to sink in. She created a product after she surveyed her audience to find out exactly what they wanted, right? And that's key for all of you guys. Sometimes you create things and then nobody buys and you're like, why? It's because you didn't find out if they actually wanted it in the first place. That's why I'm a huge fan of monetizing and then create. So then she actually took action on it, right? She didn't just like ask them and do nothing with it. She took immediate action and had 500 people sign up. That's incredible. And then she, you know, tried out some ways on how to make the model stick. And she figured out, well, if we do seasonal challenges, that's how we'll get the retention up. And she has an 85% retention rate. So make a model that is sticky. That is another key point I took away from her. Make a model that is sticky. How do you keep people coming back for more and more and more? I used to talk about that all the time when I sold health and wellness supplements. Now, write this down. Feelings follow action. Take the action and the feeling will follow. That goes with anything in your life and in your business, right? Don't follow your feelings. Take the action and the right feeling will come up afterwards. The last point that I'm going to take away from her is about the community. It is all about the community. If you guys are building a brand, create a community immediately, right? And it starts from the top. You have to set the tone. You have to show up as that leader and show people what you expect in your group, right? If you're going to allow crap talking, negativity, then your group is going to be filled with it, right? But if you're like, I want this to be a positive, optimistic place, and you show up like that, you'll attract people that are looking for that type of community. And then your business just continues to grow and grow and grow because of that community. They will sell for you. I see it happen all the time with my community. So I hope you guys loved this episode. If you did, make sure to take a screenshot, tag both me and Get Your Pretty on Instagram. Maybe we'll repost it. And I love you ladies so much. I appreciate you guys listening into these interviews and getting inspired. The whole point of this is that you would go out and remember to take action on your dreams. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.